May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in thy sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Take a pew. Well, today's gospel passage seems a bit, well, to quote an old Wendy's commercial, where's the beef? For the last few weeks, saving last week, we heard a constant string of readings extolling the exploits of our Lord, healing the sick, casting out demons, and even the odd raising from the dead. It's been a whirlwind of activity. Then last week, we had a bit of a departure with the beheading of John the Baptist. But Bill put that into beautiful context as a much-needed reality check that the world back then and our Lord's journey in it was not all sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Today's reading picks up literally at the next verse from last week's. But hang on a minute, you say. Bill went on to compare and contrast the beheading of John the Baptist with what came next in Mark's gospel, the feeding of the 5,000. So we were looking forward to hearing that familiar passage. Where is it? Where's the beef? Well, as you heard, it's not there. Today's reading from chapter 6 is verses 30 to 34, then 53 to 56. It skips right over the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water. The compilers of the Revised Common Lectionary have removed the meat from this part of chapter 6 and have just left the connective tissue. So, whilst Bill was lamenting last week about the brutality of the substance of his readings, it's my turn to lament about the fact they simply took the substance out. Why would they do that? Well, I could attempt to give you some great theological reason, but the answer is actually quite basic. You know, we operate in a 3-year lectionary cycle, a cycle common to most denominations around the world. That means regardless of where you are, you will hear the same readings. So if you weren't here last week, you will have still heard about John the Baptist. Each year is headed by one of the synoptic gospels. That is, those three gospels that are similar with their differences. Last year was year A with Matthew. This year we're in year B with Mark. And next year we will be in year C with Luke. The problem with this 3-year rotation is it could leave out John. So each year gets a healthy dose of John mixed in. Next week, we will start 5 weeks of John. And guess what the gospel reading is about next week? You've got it. The feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water. So we can't have the same topic twice. As a result, I have to leave that to next week's preacher. You're welcome, Sue. But the fact of the matter is, the compilers of the lectionary did create a gospel reading for this week, and it was just with that connective tissue between those main sections. And they're smart people, so they must have seen merit in doing so. When I look at this connective tissue, I realize, just like in the human body, it's all very well having the muscle, but you also do need that connective tissue. And there are two things which stick out to me. As we've already said, over the last few weeks, we've seen our Lord creating a cracking pace. He really hasn't stopped. He's gone from teaching to healing, back to teaching, driven out some demons, gone back to healing, done some more teaching, more demons, and along the way has even fought with a few authorities and the neighbors. It's been non-stop. Heavens knows how much that little band has been able to eat or sleep while this was all ongoing. And whilst our Lord is fully divine as well as fully human, the apostles are not. They're just human. And our Lord sees that it's time to give it a rest. So here we hear him say to the apostles, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." So they get into a boat and go towards a nice deserted place for some well-deserved R&R. You can just imagine how they would be feeling as they cross over in that boat. At last, we can actually have a decent, leisurely meal and maybe even put our feet up and have an afternoon snooze under a palm tree. Oh, great expectations. When they get to their destination, they close their eyes, they breathe in the deep breath of freedom, and they open them, and surprise! We're here! Everybody's come around after them. It's just like getting away from those lovely but sometimes annoying neighbors for the weekend to find out they're in the next campsite. So the apostles settle down to a quiet meal with 5,000 of their closest friends. They try it again. After the feeding of the 5,000, our Lord tells them, "Look, get into the boat and go off again." But when they get to the other side, it's deja vu all over again. So much for a spot of R&R. When you work for our Lord, it seems there ain't much time for rest. So why would our Lord be such a taskmaster for the apostles? Well, that's the second thing that strikes me about today's gospel reading. As he went ashore, he saw the great crowd, and he had compassion for them. Because, as it says, like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. You see, he can't help it. He sees his flock, he knows their needs, and he simply has to minister to them. He knows his time in earthly ministry is very defined, and there's little time for rest, which for him is just fine. But for the apostles? As is my usual way, I now ask, well, that's great, but what's it got to do with me? Now, as presumptive as it is to even think of giving our Lord some advice, I'm afraid after 40 years of leadership experience, I probably would. It's great to have an enthusiastic, inexperienced group of leaders that you're training up to take on the family business after you've gone. But I've seen it all too often how burning the candle so intensely can soon lead to burnout. When that happens, your budding leaders are no use to you, to the people they are leading or themselves. They need balance, and it's your job to make sure they get it. I love it when a leader comes to me and asks if it's possible for them to get their vacation paid out because they're not sure they're going to have the time to take it. My answer is always the same. No. We give vacation time for a reason. If you're doing your job, you need the time off to replenish yourself. That can be a problem for many of us. We try to cram in just one more thing, to deal with one more issue, or to attend one more event we're expected to attend. As a result, we get tired, or worse, we get jaded and lose the spark for what it was we were about in the first place. The message for me is take your rest. It's important. Know when enough is enough. But for us, it does go a little deeper than that. Whilst we tend to think of the physical rest of the body, we can't forget about the soul either. We need time within our day or week, and certainly our year, to allow our souls to refresh too. Some find it in daily meditation. Some find it in a weekend retreat. For me, I find it in a week away with the brothers in the monastery. Whatever it is, for you specifically, do it. And if you don't know what that is, take time to find out, to ask, so that you can. Body and soul are both important to us, the body of Christ. You need them both. Take care of both. You'll be glad you did, and I can assure you that those to whom you minister will be too. Amen.